Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Right out of the gate, having to clear my throat. It's game day, everybody. Welcome to the 2018 NFL season. It is upon us. We get to talk about an actual game with actual players and actual fantasy ramifications. I'm excited. Dane's excited. And thank you for joining us, whether it's on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. We thank you very much. So the Lev Bell watch continues.
Yeah.
I'm a Steelers fan. That's horrendous news. And the offensive linemen are jumping on him now, which is about the last group of people you'd expect in the entire world to jump on him. So they're obviously extremely displeased. We're throwing up a poll as if you were still drafting, when would you take Le'Veon Bell? So, you know, that's the deal with Lev Bell. We have Dane, go ahead, take over.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Here's what we got here. Okay, Le'Veon Bell, a lot of people thought that he was coming in yesterday. It didn't happen, right? The offensive linemen are now saying, whoa. I respect the business end of this, right? I'm all about players getting their money. But they're starting to say, hey, now we have a common goal here. Now we have a shared goal, and that goal is to beat the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, and we believe Le'Veon Bell is a big part of that. But it sounds like the business decision is starting to become more and more the impact here for Le'Veon Bell, right? And so now we've had a couple of people, Mike, on social media, and I know we're going to get Mike back real quick. We've had people on social media being like, he may play this out the whole way. You know, yesterday Mike and I talked about this contract and how it was structured and all that stuff, and that him and his agent may need to be willing to, you know, eat $6.8 million or thereabouts. But here's my thing for you now, Mike. You know, we've agreed that the way these negotiations have gone, we both have said we believe Lev Bell is playing for a team that is not the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? So if that is the case, Mike, isn't the most important thing for Le'Veon Bell not necessarily getting to the playoffs with Pittsburgh this year? Isn't the most important thing to Le'Veon Bell sort of getting to whatever it is, like March 7th or something, healthy and with as less wear and tear on his 27-year-old body as possible? I mean, the 31 other teams in the NFL, they know what Lev Bell can do already, even if he plays 7 games this year. I'm very worried that this now could stretch all the way into October, right? And because Lev Bell is, you know, in essence, yeah, putting himself in bubble wrap so right, he can hit his payday come March.
So when this initially went down, on the day that they couldn't sign, that they didn't come to an agreement on a long-term deal, and the franchise tender deadline was up, I initially said he's going to hold out. And people jumped all over me, social media, some criticism on shows and that kind of stuff, and that's all good. And then like a day or two later, Le'Veon Bell said, I'm not going to be holding out. Same thing as last year. I'll be ready to go at the start of the season. I'd have to go back and look at the exact quote to see if there's wiggle room, but he made it pretty clear that he was throwing cold water on the holdout situation. So
I retweeted this yesterday. Here it is, from July 16th. He tweeted, to all my Steelers fans, my desire always has been to retire a Steeler. Both sides worked extremely hard today to make that happen, but the NFL is a hard business at times. To the fans that had hope, I'm sorry we let you down, but trust me, 2018 will be my best season to date. Not if he's playing 10 games, Mike.
Well, maybe it is the best season for him. He didn't say he'd be there in week one. But honestly, so the tone of it was that don't worry, I'll be back. Right. They did try. We tried. Didn't quite get there. And then a couple of days later, Gurley signed his deal. And maybe that's when things changed for him, to be honest. Once Gurley got the deal, he said, well, I knew they were lying. They just gave this guy 30, we talked about it yesterday, 33 guaranteed with no offset, 40 guaranteed overall. They only gave me $10 million, which is technically less than what I'm being guaranteed with a franchise tender. So I really did forget about it, but it will not surprise me at all if this ends up being a holdout. In fact, at the time, I said, I completely understand it. And if I were him, I might. Now, you have to keep in mind that he's passing up the nearly $7 million. I picked 8 games as a target. Maybe it's only 2 games for him. Maybe it's 4. Maybe it's 8. Now, keep in mind, you can't work on a long-term deal anyway, so there's no leverage either way. But it won't really surprise me because, as you said, he's playing for another team. He's trying to be healthy long-term. And if it's in his best interests to only play a half a season, Steelers fans, excluding me, are going to hate him, and his teammates might hate him. And that's the one difficulty that I can't quite work through because we're not going to be in the building. We're not going to be in the locker room. How ticked off are they going to be? It takes a lot, usually, for teammates, especially an offensive lineman running back situation, to criticize each other. But it seems as if guys were giving some sort of guarantee from Le'Veon Bell that he'd be there. And now, I mean, even if he walks in today, you'd have to admit, like, isn't this a little bit too much grandstanding? If he holds out into the season and he holds by what he wants to say and do, then I have to respect it because he's thinking about his career long term. But ultimately, it seems like guys got promises and he hasn't lived up to them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when you hear the offensive line, and that's what I was saying just before, you know, generally speaking, Mike, players kind of let other players handle their kind of business aspects. You know, the kind of stock answer is, listen, it's a business. I can't fault them for trying to get his money, that sort of thing. But I think now this has kind of crossed the threshold. Everyone kind of like assumed that this was, you know, this game of chicken would end similar to like Earl Thomas, right? Similar to what happened with Earl Thomas in Seattle. We thought that they wouldn't risk the actual game checks. You made the point about $6.84 million, that sort of thing. But I got to say, Mike, if you're thinking about you're going to wind up with $17, $18 million a year on the other side from another team on the open market, maybe $6.8 million doesn't matter too much.
I actually don't think he's going to end up with that. That's the irony of all of this. Because like
in the open market, he might.
Maybe. But he'll be a 27-year-old running back looking for something in the neighborhood of $40 million guaranteed. We talked about it yesterday. I think it looks closer to a Cousins-like deal in that it's going to be heavy guaranteed
shorter
over
and
2 years. Yeah, like we'll guarantee you $30 million over 2 years with an opportunity to make $45 million over 3. I'm just throwing numbers out. It could look like that. And then you'll be 30, by the way. So
Let me ask you something about this.
Yeah.
Here's another option because you broke down the contracts and all that stuff. I think you have a great understanding of it, Mike. Is there an option? What if this could the Steelers right now be like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this.
They
I don't want to deal
pull
with
the
this.
Tender.
They can't rescind the franchise tag?
No.
And just like create another $14 million in their salary cap and have Lev Bell hit the open market right now?
I don't believe that they can. I'll double check this. It's a fair question. I'll double check it. But I believe in some of the research I was doing yesterday that it cannot be pulled at the moment.
Because he hasn't signed it. He hasn't signed it.
That's right. Nothing signed. He is not under contract. He is not a free agent. He is under team control. But
that's what
he
I'm
is
saying.
Not
like if they rescinded it because he hasn't signed it, I don't know if that's doable. But you know that would create $14 million of cap room for the Steelers, right? And here's the other thing. I guess because he hasn't signed it. They can't trade him, right? Because he's not on the contract with the Steelers.
That's right, because basically what has to happen is they'd have to have a deal. What they can probably do is work out a deal. We'll do this research during the break, and I'll come back to let you know whether or not they can pull it. But what they ultimately can do is work on a deal to trade him, say Le'Veon. We have worked out a deal.
We have a deal in place, like a sign and trade.
Somebody's going to get, but it's 2 first round picks. It's basically
that was the market for Khalil Mack. Yeah. That was the market for Khalil Mack. I mean, you know,
probably what the
I hear you.
Would be. But they can.
But I'm just wondering. At some point, let's say this happened. Let's say on Sunday, Mike. Let's say James Conner runs for 137 yards and 2 touchdowns. Right? Then I would say Lev Bell has lost some leverage, and the Steelers may be like, you know what? To hell with this. And I just wonder if they have that recourse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we believe the Steelers are one of the top offensive lines. A lot of people have thought that James Conner, you know, has the chance to be a quality back in this league. I this would really upset the apple cart for Lev and his agent if James Conner goes and runs for 135 yards. And I, by the way, I put James Conner in our flex spot for our team.
Now we're talking. Yeah, he is the guy I own more than any other player in fantasy football this year is James Conner. I didn't think there was – I always thought there would be an opportunity for Conner to play because I didn't think Bell would play 16 games, whether it was due to
– injury.
Injury or him making business decisions at the end of the year.
Right.
I'll be honest and say I didn't think that this was going to happen. I also think that's why there's a chance he walks in the building today because he doesn't want Conner to go and have a big game so that he doesn't lose leverage and lose $855,000 a game. But we shall see. Anyway, we're putting a poll up on Twitter. If you were still drafting today, when would you take Le'Veon Bell? First round, second round, third round, or later? And you can find that poll at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett on Twitter, and Dane Martinez is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. And if you want to give us a call, please do so around 8:40. The phones will open 844-843-6879. So lineup questions, waiver wire scenarios, just let us know what's going on there. And if you need a little bit more advice, both before you're drafted, if it hasn't happened yet, and throughout the season, please go to rotoexperts.com. and pick up the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package. It's not just a draft kit. It's a full season package that takes you from your draft to your championship. So it features in-depth analysis from some of your favorite fantasy sports radio experts. And go to rotoexperts.com. Use code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, to get 10% off on that exclusive Edge package and set aside a spot on the mantle for that 2018 championship trophy. So if I was drafting today, I think I'd take a shot late round one, early round two. That's today. If it's tomorrow, it probably moves further back. If it's Saturday, it probably moves further back.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I do feel like, to me, it also depends on, like, the size of your league. You know, if I'm in a 10-team league and I know that the replacement level kind of waiver wire guy is going to be okay, you know, I still may take my swing on Lev Bell because he does have the potential to win you your week and help you win your league, right?
Yeah.
So I'm still taking my chance. I think the interesting question, you know, because to be honest, Blewett, most drafts are done, right? Some people are doing it maybe today or even into the weekend.
Yeah. Over 90% of drafts done, I would say.
My question is, let's say I've gotten so many questions from people who own Lev Bell, right? And for example, are getting, a trade offer. Like, you own Lev Bell in some leagues, I think. Let's say you have Lev Bell right now.
I haven't been
and
one.
Okay. And let's say in that league, someone comes to you and they're like, I'll trade you Alex Collins for Lev Bell straight up. Do you do it?
I have James Conner.
Okay.
If I don't have James Conner,
right,
is how you would ask. So
I guess, yeah, because I'm thinking people are wondering, like, what kind of value could I get for him?
In the one league I had, I was sure to get James Conner. Like, right. I was absolutely on it. I like I've said many times, I have James Conner everywhere. So,
all your teams, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the question, because to me, a lot of people have drafted already, right? And so now these people who are holding Lev Bell are wondering, like, do I trade him for 90 cents on the dollar, 40 cents on the dollar? It's very similar to the Ezekiel Elliott conversation, I think, last year. You know, like, do I try to flip him now, or will he be a depreciating asset? You know, so I'm wondering about guys like I said, Alex Collins. Are you taking – or, like, would you take Mark Ingram for Lev Bell?
It's not a bad return, but the way I look at it, you're selling off for far less than he's worth. I took a shot at Zeke last year in one league knowing what could happen, and I think it was 2 days later that the initial suspension was announced, and then he was back on, and then back off, and then back on, and I blew the six game, blew through the six games, and I won that league, actually, and Zeke was a part of helping me to win that league, so... due to recency bias, I would say hang on to Lev Bell, and because you're not going to get the return. He is going to play. I just don't know when it's going to be. I can't tell you whether it's tomorrow, today, tomorrow, or week 10. I wish I could, but I can't.
But if it's week 10, you don't want him.
I know, but I can't tell you that now. But if it's week 3, I do. A couple of years ago, he was suspended for the first two games.
Yeah.
Was it two?
I thought it was two, but yeah, I remember that. For the marijuana, right?
Yeah, I think it was three. Maybe they reduced it to two. Anyway, people were dropping him in drafts. The reality is he should have gone first overall because he crushed it. And if he misses two games again this year because he's holding out, Tomlin can't support the drama, so he's got to put him in there just so they can try to win the freaking Super Bowl, because I'm a Steelers fan and they have to win this year because it's falling apart in front of my eyes and they have to play him. So if he's there for 14 games, you're in good shape, and I would say just hang on to him because you're not going to get anywhere near the return that you need. And if it's 10 games, mea culpa. So there we go. Let's go to some news and notes which are important. We'll cover them before the break and then through the other side. Guys that are all clear, appeared on injury reports or were rumored to be dealing with nagging injuries. Antonio Brown, Delanie Walker, Saquon Barkley, George Kittle, Adam Thielen, Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson, Jay Ajayi, Josh Gordon, and Dalvin Cook. The only guy there that's not starting is Josh Gordon, but wide receiver 3, boom or bust type potential for Josh Gordon. So that's all good. Guys that are limited, and we'll talk about the Patriots running back thing after the break, I guess. Sony Michel is limited. Burkhead had a full practice. Will Fuller limited. Vance McDonald limited. Marlon Mack is likely out. Olivier Vernon for the Giants, so just keep that in mind in terms of their pass rush ability. On the flip side of that, Austin Seferian Jenkins is now dealing with an injury. You and I drafted him a little bit late in one of our leagues. Mm-hmm. He's limited. He may not even play. Devontae Parker is out. Jermaine Kurtz is likely out. I know some of those guys are deeper picks, but we deal with people in deeper leagues. So keep all of that in mind. We'll do the Patriots running back thing, like I said, after the break. But one feel-good story that I think is tremendous is Shaquem Griffin, the rookie who obviously suffers with, well, not suffers from, but has, as everybody famously knows, he's first player in the NFL history, I believe, that's going to play with one hand. He's starting at linebacker on Sunday. KJ Wright is out. I think this guy crushed it at the combine. I've been rooting for him. Everybody's been rooting for him. His brother is on the Seahawks, and he gets the start as a rookie in week one. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. I think that's a great story. Both Griffin brothers will be playing. KJ Wright is out, and Earl Thomas will be there. You know, Thomas will be there in Denver as the Seahawks take on the Denver Broncos. I do think it's a tough spot for the Seahawks, though. I always think the non-conference road games are tough. Being on the road in the opener is tough. Denver, I believe, is a 3-point favorite. I'm laying the points and taking the Broncos.
I was hoping Earl and Le'Veon were like texting. Gonna, let's walk in together. I didn't know what was going to happen, but Steelers are screwed.
The sky is falling like Chicken Little. It's horrible.
I'm in the middle of a burning room, and I'm saying everything's fine. Nothing to see here. We'll be back. We'll talk Pats running backs after the break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Back on game day edition of FST. I'm going to be doing fantasy sports today every Sunday from 8 to 10, and then a game day show from 10 to 1. I'm on the air a lot on Sundays this season, and you'll hear me here during the weeks as well with Dane. So I'm looking forward to it. Excited to work with Scott Engel, Jim Day, Gabe Morency, Corey Parson, and a cast of characters beyond that. So looking forward to it. And you should also be looking forward to going on to Daily Roto to get your DFS lineup set. We're going to do a lot of DFS stuff tomorrow. We can talk about today's game in the next segment, but and DFS opportunities and start sit and all that kind of stuff. But we'll do a greater DFS overview tomorrow. But for now, go to dailyroto.com because they're putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. So have the chance to win big this year along SportsGrid CEO Jeremy Stein. He's one of the only guys to have won two separate $1 million prizes. So each week we're going to select subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. If there's no profits that week, don't worry. Your name gets tossed back into the hat the following week. So head to dailyroto.com/sweat and learn how to get in on the action and your share of $25,000 in action. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. So, again, hit us up on Twitter today at FNTSY Radio, at Mike Blewett, at Dave Martinez. Call us at 844-843.
At Spittin' Speeds.
Oh, sorry. At Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. Going through it too quickly. 844-843-6879. So, all right, two things real quick, and then we're going to get into my over-under contest. So, Sony Michel is limited. Rex Burkhead, full practice. So, right out of the gate. This Patriots running back situation is confusing. I think it'd be hard to start Sony Michel with confidence. But if you have Burkhead and you've been debating him and another running back, I can't tell you who off the top of my head, I think it's a likely start here against the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, sure, Mike. You know, I mean, he'll be the guy. But I'm more intrigued by James White this week, to be quite honest, you know.
Okay, I
like James White, especially in the PPR format. You know, Michelle is still kind of working his way back. Burkhead has this quote-unquote slight tear in his knee as well. I think James White may be the back to own for week one, especially with Edelman still out on suspension. White, you know, there's been games where James White has caught 7 or 8 balls, you know, and I wouldn't be completely shocked to see this Sunday against Houston be one of those kind of games and what I expect to be a fairly high-scoring game and something of a shootout. I go on over to mybookie.ag right now, and the over-under for that game is one of the highest on the board this week, Mike. The over-under for that game in New England is 51, okay? And when I look at plays and DFS plays and things like that, that's the first place I look, okay? And that Texans-Pats game is the highest on the board with a total of 51. I actually think James White might be the highest-scoring Pats running back this week.
Kind of like that. Interesting call right there. So we got a caller. We're going to take him in a minute. Let's do the Philly running back situation now because Jay Ajayi appears to be healthy. We haven't really heard specifically whether or not he was. Corey Clement has been banged up as well. Darren Sproles is back. So another running back by committee coming out of the gate tonight.
Yeah, I like Ajayi tonight. You know, he was a full go at practice. That's all I need to know when I hear some of these things. So he's ready to go. They're at home, season opener, raising the banner, all that good stuff. I think Clement is banged up. I think what this is going to be is like you're more typical kind of timeshare where Ajayi is your early down guy and your goal line guy, and Sproles will be that PPR out of the backfield guy. People forget about Darren Sproles, but that's just on, you know, your 2-minute drills, you know, kind of your third down, stuff like that. I think Ajayi gets, I wouldn't be surprised if Ajayi gets, you know, 18 to 20 carries tonight.
Okay, cool. So that poll is going up there. Where would you take Le'Veon Bell, round one, round two, round three, or later? And for now, we have a caller, Nathan in Nebraska. Nate, how are you doing, buddy? Nathan in Nebraska?
Yes.
Going once. Oh, there it is.
What's going on, bud?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What can I help you with? No problem.
Dilly-dilly. I had a question.
Dilly-dilly, Nate.
There's spots I'm really worried about with my recent – I'm in a 10-team full-point PPR. I got Will Fuller, that's questionable, and I have James White filling in both. Those are starting spots for me. I made a rookie mistake. I picked up Ingram pretty early in the draft. And for my receivers right now on the bench that I could possibly fill Fuller with if I feel uncomfortable are Mike Williams and Kenny Stills. And my running backs, I got obviously Ingram, which is suspended still, and Wilkins for the RB spot for Indy. And I'm really not sure who I should fill for James White. I heard a lot of confidence with James White from you, but I was just seeing if you think there's somebody else I could possibly put in there.
So let me go first here, Mike. I do like James White, especially if it's a PPR league. Out of the names you mentioned, though, Nathan, give me Kenny Stills this week. Okay, we know Devontae Parker is out. I believe Miami is going to be down in that game. I know you and I both, Mike, like the Titans a little bit. And Kenny Stills is the number one receiver for the Miami Dolphins. For me, it's Kenny Stills all day long. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with Dane. What I couldn't discern, Nathan, is how many guys you need there. If you're just picking one out of this whole group, we're going to go with Kenny Stills. If you need a wide receiver plus a flex, it's not rookie, by the way, to have Mark Ingram.
Yeah,
you just can't use him for a few games. You're only going to use him once, by the way, before week seven. So it's going to seem interminable, but you drafted him for a reason. You're trying to be the best team in November, not right now. So it's not rookie. It's just you got to deal with it. So if you need to start James White, go ahead. I think Dane and I both have a level of confidence that he can have a pretty good game here up against the Texans. As Dane said, the implied total is the highest on the board right now, and I'm with him. You can't start Will Fuller over Kenny Stills right now. He's limited in practice. Stills is the number one. Doesn't mean I like Miami, but they're going up against Tennessee, who's got more talent in the defensive backfield than they've had in a long time, but it's still new. I think Tennessee wins that game, but I'll take Kenny Stills. Give me whatever kind of points you want to give me. Wide receiver one numbers, garbage numbers, whatever. I think he can do it, and you got to start him over Will Fuller. We got another caller, Matt, in Atlanta. Is this Matt Ryan?
Could be. Matt Ryan makes too much money to call us. He makes too much money to call us.
Yeah, but I'm a Boston College guy. Matt Ryan's a Boston College guy. I thought he'd maybe give me a shot in the arm, a little good luck, but it doesn't sound like it is. So, Matt, how you doing?
Good, good. I had drafted Connor late just as a stash, and now I have a little bit of an embarrassment of riches. So, starting Fournette in the RB1 spot, I need two of these three for RB2 in the flex. I have Howard, Drake, and Connor. For this week,
wow.
Who would you put in?
Jeez.
Is it PPR or standard?
It's a half-point PPR, but the curveball is we get 1 point for every five rushes.
Huh. So volume matters.
Volume matters.
Yeah.
You know what? Because of that, I think Drake might be the guy without a seat when the music stops. Drake, Frank Gore will eat into Drake a little bit, right?
He's been limited with an Achilles injury, but it sounds like he's going to play.
James Conner is the guy, right, if there's no Lev Bell. And with that volume opportunity, I mean, you got to start Howard, in my opinion. So for me, it is an embarrassment of riches, and that's where people are going to be with they have James Conner now. All of a sudden, a new starting running back just fell into their lap. For me, Blewett, it's Drake that doesn't have a chair when the music stops.
I think the question is between Drake and Conner. It's close for me, clearly, if Bell doesn't show up. This is the only discussion is if Bell doesn't show up.
Right.
Which I hope he does. But
yeah, Matt, if Bell walks into the building then, yeah. And that's a timeshare, then it's not Connor. Okay, fair enough.
So I just felt like I had to qualify that, even though you'd have to be crazy to do it. Right. But I think I'm going to go with what Dane said. I think Drake is the guy without the seat when the music stops. You could make the argument that Tariq Cohen is going to see some touches, but the Bears' goal is going to be to get Jordan Howard the ball every week, like 18 times, because it'll be indicative of them being able to control the action. They can mix Cohen and Robinson and everybody in, and Fournette's always going to have huge volume in that league. He's your must-start every week in that league, but I will go with Howard here. Packers need to prove to me that they can play defense before I trust them, so I'll go with Connor slightly over Drake. You could sell me on Drake, but I'm going to go with Dane. So you have a consensus here from us, which is good. So good luck with that. Nice job drafting Connor. I said I have him everywhere. I don't know if I was forceful enough about telling people to pick him up. Because I often say I don't espouse handcuffing, but at the same time, when it gets to the end of the draft and you're looking for gems, it's James Conner and Austin Eckler and
Chase Edmonds, baby. Chase Edmonds.
Chase Edmonds. I'm still worried about that offensive line, but Chase Edmonds and, you know, I wish there was somebody in Dallas or Jacksonville or New York. By the way, I picked up Wayne Gallman in the Scott Fishbowl League.
Yeah.
Just because he's sitting there yesterday. I was like, well, what if something else happens? You know, he's a guy dealing with a hamstring injury, although he's all clear to go now. But I picked up Wayne Gallman because I was listening to a Giants a reporter just talking about how if anything happened to Barkley, Gallman would really be the guy to see the lion's share of the carries. So anyway, something to consider. We have another call. Mario in Phoenix. Mario, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Thanks for getting up early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 5:30 here. But hey, quick question. I got tight end. I had Watson as my tight end, but then I saw that Jenkins was going against the Giants. So I dropped Watson. I got Jenkins. But now I heard he may be injured. Have you guys heard anything about this?
Yeah.
Core muscle. So it's a struggle.
He's limited in practice right now. I think you have a couple of more days before you have to hit the panic button. I mean, see how he practices today. Tomorrow will be the important practice to determine whether or not he's a full go, limited. But you have to have your – I wouldn't drop him yet, but I think you have to have your finger on the waiver wire button that if he's limited in practice on Friday, you're going to want somebody that can go out there and get the full load of snaps, which – could be Ben Watson, actually, for week one. You'd have to feel okay about that opportunity. But beyond that, just wait and see. I can't give you something on Wednesday when there's two more days of practice to happen before they determine how good he is. But you have to keep an eye on it, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, one thing cool. I'll say, one thing I'll add to that is here's the thing, and I'm going to be revealing a little bit more of my DFS lineups, I guess. And one tight end that I kind of like that a lot of people – don't like because they think he's always injured all the time. Well, it's week one and it's healthy, and I love the matchup. Tyler Eifert. If Tyler Eifert is available on your league, I would look to Tyler Eifert. They're facing the Indianapolis Colts, and they're healthy. The offensive line in Cincy looks a lot better. I actually, in tournament plays, I'm stacking Dalton with either Eifert or Ross in tournament plays, Blewett. We'll talk about that a little bit more, I know. But he's asking about tight end. You know, a lot of people, Eifert is just not on their radar, and he's healthy right now.
Yeah, the reality with Tyler Eifert is, yeah, he gets hurt all the time, but when he's out there, just use him.
Right.
Same with Jordan Reed. I mean, it's going to fall apart likely at some point, but use those guys when they're healthy. I think you did a nice job by targeting Austin Seferian Jenkins. Dane and I actually have him in our high-stakes league team as a backup tight end because we drafted Gronk, but it wouldn't shock me at all if ASJ becomes a flex play for us in the future because he's heavily targeted in the red zone. And the good news for you is if he's healthy, the Giants haven't covered a tight end since the 90s, so you have an opportunity to score there. So nice job, Mario. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you again soon. Just keep an eye on the ASJ thing. So, Dane, back to business. We talked a little bit about – so we talked Pats running backs. We talked Philly running backs. Let's talk about my over-under competition.
Yeah.
We'll get as much in as we can. We'll get through it to the break. So here's the bones of the competition. It's with three friends. We each pick four teams, but this year we added a fifth team as an alternate. The alternate team is there. It doesn't count in the competition unless sometime before the week six games. So you have 5 weeks to evaluate this. You can use the alternate as a buyback in option. So I think you can throw another $50 into the pot.
To go and use your alternate.
To use your alternate. So, for example, I've picked the Lions under 8. If the Lions go 5-0, I might buy back in on my alternate, which is the Patriots, at 11.5 over, if they're also 5-0. And I feel good about them getting to 12. So it's risky. So that's, you know, that makes the competition a little fun. It's risky to do that because despite the fact that the Pats are 5-0, maybe they hit a skid in their schedule and, you know, they go 500 the rest of the way and I miss, you know, whatever the math turns out to be. So, so that's the bones of the competition. You win by, first of all, I think we're also using the alternate as a potential tiebreaker, too.
Right.
But basically, you're trying to win as many of these as you can, and you're trying to get as far away from the over-under number as possible. So you tabulate a over-under plus-minus, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So
the variance,
I had the first pick in the draft, and you and I talked about it a whole bunch. I looked at a few teams, but I went with the Bucks under 6.5. The Bills under six also look good. They went second right out of the gate. The Bucks did not have the heaviest juice in the entire competition. They were a little bit down the list, but the heaviest juice in the competition was the Raiders. And I ended up getting them with my second pick. So that's the eighth overall. I have the Raiders under eight. So I went under Bucks, under Raiders. And on the way back around, so the reason I went with the Raiders, and then I took, so I had the turn there, and I took the Titans over eight. So my second cluster of picks there was Raiders under eight, Titans over eight. If you push, it's a half a point. In the competition, if you win one, it's a full point. If you push, it's a half a point. That's the way we've worked it out over the years. Now, I took the Titans there because somebody had already taken the Bengals under, and I wanted to take the Bengals over, but I didn't think they would get drafted. I didn't think somebody would challenge so early. So you can still, if you selected Bengals under, Dane, I can challenge you and go Bengals over. It's a different bet altogether, and you're just going to head on that. So I strategically did not take the Bengals over there, which I wanted, because I didn't think it would get drafted. But it did before it got back to me, as did the Giants over, which I also like at seven. So my last pick was Lions under eight, and then my alternate was Patriots over 11.5. So that's my picks. Bucks under 6.5, Raiders under eight, Titans over eight, Lions under eight, and Pats over 11.5. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I love getting the Raiders in the second round. We talked about them both as, like, you know, kind of our best bets. And the fact that you can get the Raiders under eight in the second round, you know, that's kind of like getting Le'Veon Bell in the second round, which right now is the leader in the poll, Mike. 35% of people are saying they would wait until round two to take Le'Veon Bell.
Cool. So we'll break this down a little bit more. I'll tell you about some of the other picks that were hot in this competition. And we'll talk Atlanta, Philly. It's game day on FST. Get those Falcons and Eagles in your lineup. Set your lineups. We'll talk to you right after the break on FST.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
FST, Mike and Dane, taking you near the top of the hour. Got about 12 minutes left on this bad boy. And BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. Using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. We got football, obviously, on our minds. The U.S. Open in tennis. The men's semis are set. We got baseball still going on, and the Yankees are falling apart. It's, I don't know what's happening with this team, but it's not looking good. It's just not looking good for the Yanks. But in any event, we were still doing a little bit of my over-under competition. You pretty much like my first three, which is Titans over, Raiders under, Bucks under. Now,
I do, and I like Lions, the Lions under also. I like the Lions under also. Go ahead.
The Lions was 16th. So, I mean, we're halfway through the league when I got that pick, so I feel pretty good about it.
Here's the thing. If you ask me right now, who do I think will be in last place in the NFC North, my answer is the Lions.
That's exactly why I picked them. So if they're going to be in last, I don't see them going 8-8.
Exactly.
And the reason I
think the Bears would be 8-8, something like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, agreed. The reason I picked the Bucks over the Raiders, we actually walked through this yesterday. I think the Bucks division is really good. And I think the Raiders division is I don't know. Like, I think the Chiefs can make the playoffs. I think the Chargers are going to make the playoffs. But I don't love the Raiders, and I don't love the Broncos, and the Chiefs' defense isn't great. They could put up a lot of points this year. Like, the narrative for the Chiefs makes sense. The defense isn't that good, so Mahomes, who can sling it, is going to have to. But
they're going to be in Arena Football League game. Yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of 35-31 in Arrowhead this year.
It's all on him, though. Hunt, Kelsey, Tyreek Hill. Maybe it's perfect for him. He's a Big 12 quarterback. They didn't play defense, yep. And he threw the ball for 500 yards a game, and maybe this is all going to work out for him. And with Andy Reid, I have to trust that. But I have to be honest. I wouldn't say I've been fading them, but I've tempered enthusiasm for that working out in the manner that some people think it's going to. Like, Louis Riddick of ESPN is way out in front on him. So some of the other hot picks there were Bills under, Cardinals over, the Falcons over, which I actually thought I might get on the turn, went early, fourth pick, Falcons over 9.5. So my friend Mike feels as confident as I do about the Falcons. I would have had them on the turn potentially as one of my picks. Bengals went under and over. Jaguars went over and under. Packers went over 10. Hawks under 8. Panthers under 9. Rams over 9.5. Colts over 6.5. Washington over 7. So I don't know if anything jumps out there. Which way would you lean on the Bengals and the Jaguars, by the way?
I'm over on the Bengals. I'm under on the Jaguars. I just think there's too many reasons they're primed for a little bit of regression. They're not going to take anybody by surprise this year. Jacksonville, they've got a first-place schedule. And I mentioned it yesterday, 4 of their wins last year were against Jacoby Brissett and, like, you know, T.J. Yates, right? And they're going to see Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck with that first-place schedule. And don't forget, last I checked, their quarterback was still Blake Bortles.
I would feel better about it if it was a 9.5 situation as opposed to 9.
Fair. But then you get to push you're saying, at 9. Yeah, I can see them at 9-7, yeah.
Yeah, so then you're saying that they're going to go 8-8. That's a tough one. I don't know if I can buy in on that, but I get it. I don't think your explanation is off. I just think that it'd be hard for me to do it. So I avoided it during the competition, which basically went 20 picks. So, yeah. So there, you wanted to get my divisional winners, correct?
I sure do. I got the odds for the divisions up right now. I mean, let me ask you this, because I know we don't have a ton of time, Mike. Can I pencil you in for the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Rams?
Yes.
All right. You know, I mean, let's not worry about those. I know a lot of people like those guys. And to be honest, me and Scotty Engel did this, and we agreed on those three divisions. We also agreed on the Chargers. Do you have the Chargers in the AFC West?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we disagreed on the other four divisions. So I want you to kind of be, I guess, our tiebreaker, let's say.
So
the first one is
AFC South. Yeah, yep. AFC South, I've been on the Titans bandwagon for 2 months. I think they go 11-5, win that division. If it's 10-6, so be it. I think they win the division. I have Tennessee in there. I have had them in there for more than a month.
I also have Tennessee. You can get them at plus 300. They're the third choice in that division, Blewett. You get the Jags at plus 145, the Texans at plus 150. That's where Scotty went with the Jaguars to win that division, but he's got the Houston Texans in the Super Bowl out of the wild card, and the Titans are at plus 300. I also had the Titans to win this division. It sounds like you're riding with me.
Yeah, for sure, and I like the value of that bet. I understand the Texans have a lot of guys coming back. They have the single easiest schedule in the entire NFL, according to last year's record. So I think that's
and one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL.
Right.
And that's
so
my pause for pause.
Yeah, that mitigates it for me. So I think the Texans are a hard team for me to jump on the bandwagon. I would go Texans and Jaguars out of this. If they placed three teams in that division, I don't think that would stun me, actually. If the Texans were also a playoff team, I don't think it would stun me. But my wild cards there in the AFC are going to be Jacksonville. And I'm having a hard time between the Bengals and the Chiefs. You could throw Houston in there as one of those teams. I said the Bengals a couple of days ago. I'm starting to think it's the Chiefs because the division stinks, I think.
Yeah, do the Chiefs, because if you went the Cincinnati Bengals, you would have the exact same AFC playoff picture as me. I have Pats, Titans, Steelers, Chargers, and I have the Jaguars and the Bengals as my two wild card teams. It seems
all right,
like
so for fun,
page,
I'll do the
Lewis.
Chiefs. There so for fun, I'll do the Chiefs.
All right, so you got Pats, Titans, Steelers, Chargers, and then the Jaguars and the Chiefs as your wild card teams. In the NFC East, I went with Philly. The King, Scott Angle, thinks the New York Football Giants are going to win that division. If I go to my bookie, right, and I see the Eagles are a big favorite in that division, then you got actually the Cowboys as the second choice at plus 300, then the Giants at plus 450, and the Washington Football Team at plus 650. You going with the defending Super Bowl champs?
I am. That'll be – I will be going there for – a division winner, and I don't think the Giants are going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to be in the mix. If you tell me the Giants go 9-7, I believe it, but I don't have them winning the division. I don't have them making the playoffs right now.
They could play a meaningful game in early December. I agree with you on that one. The last two divisions I think are the most interesting. Okay, let's go to the first, the NFC North. Blew it. What we have here is in the NFC North, we have literally co-favorites. The Packers and the Vikings are at plus 110. Then the Lions plus 525 and the Bears at plus 600. I'll tell you right now, I went with the Packers to win the division. Scott went with the Minnesota Vikings to win the division. Who do you think wins the NFC
North? I'm with Scotty on this one. I think they both have some question marks with the Vikings with major new pieces. But the Packers' defense has been really bad, and it doesn't matter that they've added a bunch of guys. There's two rookie corners out there, and they're going to take some lumps. But I do have them making the playoffs. So Minnesota wins the division. Packers make the playoffs.
All right, and then in the NFC South, which I think, you know, we've talked about this before. We all think the Bucs are going to be one of the worst teams in the league, but every other team in that division has a quarterback that's won the MVP before. You have the Saints at plus 125, the Falcons at plus 150, the Panthers at plus 200, the Bucs at plus 800. Scotty went with the New Orleans Saints. I went with the Atlanta Falcons. Who do you think wins that division, Mikey?
I'm going with the Falcons. I feel really good about them this year. I think this is probably the best division in football for me. I know people are fading the Panthers some, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I still think they're pretty competitive with Cam, Luke Kuechly, some other pieces like Christian McCaffrey. I just don't think they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs. So, I have the Falcons and the Saints making the playoffs, Falcons winning the division. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, you know, my wild cards, we've kind of just covered it, right? These two other teams in these divisions that I think are big boys that I just didn't have win the divisions. I have the Vikings and the Saints as wild cards because I picked the Packers and the Falcons. So I got Minnesota and New Orleans as my two wild card teams. Who do you think make the playoffs? Scott, by the way, has the Eagles, right? Because he picked the Giants. And then he has the Falcons. He has the Eagles and the Falcons as wild cards. What about you?
So I have the Saints and the Packers, and I would say between Minnesota and Green Bay, Atlanta and New Orleans, because everybody likes all four of those teams, guaranteed one of those guys doesn't make the playoffs, maybe more. It's too chalky, something is going to go south with one of these teams. I don't want it
like
to be
Jimmy
a QB
G
injury.
Actually is the second coming of Jimmy Jesus, or Seattle grinds it out, or like you said, the Bears really take that step forward. Something might happen.
And from my estimation, the Giants. The Giants are a little better than I anticipate. I think the Giants are going to be good, not great, 8-8, 9-7. Maybe the Giants really do step back to where they were a couple of years back when they ripped off, 13 wins or whatever.
It could be a top three offense. Who knows? You know, with all those skilled position players.
That's right. And Olivier Vernon gets healthy, Landon Collins, the whole group. Like, the Giants do have a talented roster on paper. We'll just see if it works or if they just conservatively bounce back. They can improve by 6 wins and still be 9-7. You know, it really fell apart last year for them. So that's it. I'll get into my bracket in the playoffs tomorrow. We're going to talk DFS plays tomorrow. We barely talked Atlanta and Philly, so give me your thought process on who the star of the show is tonight.
Oh, I wanted to mention that also. Did you see this, Blewett? The line opened at Philly -3.5. You know, Philly is now a home dog. right now in their season opener. The line has moved 5 points. The Falcons are a 1.5-point favorite tonight. They were plus 3.5. They're now minus 1.5. I guess that's the Carson Wentz news. I was on Atlanta to win this game. I mentioned that to you before last week. I think the star of the show, off the beaten path, off the radar. Don't forget about my man, Tiny Darren Sproles. We don't know about the load for Ajayi. And there's that little comfort blanket if they're running a little two-minute offense. I could see Sproles with 5-6 catches tonight.
There's some younger guys in that secondary tonight. I think Julio's going to take some people's lunch money tonight. So it's easy for me to say that, but I'm just saying this could be a big Julio game. I expect some points here. What's the over-under on this?
I got to bring that up. It's in the high 40s. It's in the high 40s. I'll tell you right now. Yeah, 45. Somewhere. 45.
I'll take the over. So Dana and I will be back tomorrow recapping this game and previewing the rest of the week 1 games. Have a great day. It's Carton and Friends next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.